Leighton Kelly with us tonight, and some who are with him from the home down there in Dublin. And what we're going to do is each one of them is going to give a word of testimony, but we're going to ask Leighton first of all to come and just to paint a little bit of background for us and tell us about the home and the work that he is doing down there, and then that will prepare the way for the rest who will come and give a word of testimony. So we'll going to ask Leighton to come and speak to us about the home.
Just getting wired up for the second time tonight. Getting wired up. So we're all set to go. I'm glad to be here. I'm Leighton Kelly. And I am the director of Gadarene Manor. We are a men's discipleship program down in Dublin. And just give you a little bit of background about myself. I come from a background of addiction. I'm going to give my testimony last, so I won't give too much away. But 2 years ago or so, I started a men's discipleship home down in Dublin called Gadarene Manor. And the word Gadarene means reward at the end. And there is a reward at the end for Christians when they live the Christian life and they go to heaven. God says there will be rewards there. So there's a reward at the end for the men in the home also. We have a facility down in Dublin, and we can fit probably 12 or 13 men in the men's home. We keep men for a year, and we have to do everything with them. When they first come to us, they will be on drugs or drink or and smoking and taking tablets and stuff like that. And what we do is we help them to get off that stuff for the first of all. And then they start going to classes and different stuff. We have classes every day. Give you the outline of the day. We get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I say we because I also get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, but I don't actually live at the men's home. I have another guy that works for me that lives there, but we have the men's home. The men get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Between 6 and 7, they prepare themselves for the day. Between 7 and 8, they're in devotional time. For those that have been in church before, they will probably know what that means. That's devotional time where they show that they're devoted to God, and they will be reading their Bibles. They will be filling in their prayer journal. We have prayer journals that we use on the program. And basically, they have an hour in the morning between 7 and 8. To meet with God. And that's vital for them to learn to live the Christian life. They have to learn to meet with God on their own. I mean, if I had a church service every morning in the men's home, I could maybe prepare a message every day and try feed them every day. But when they finish the 12 months, then they would go out on their own. And I'm not going to turn up to their house every day and have a church service in their house every day. So the men that are in the home are going to have to learn to feed themselves as Christians. So not everybody is saved when they come. They have to be open to spiritual things though when they come, and we will give them a few hoops to jump through. They will need to come to church. They will need to come to my outreach. I also run a gospel outreach on Friday nights in Dublin, where we get the addicted in, and we're having about 60 people right now on a Friday night. We get our kids in and stuff like that, and we have testimonies, prayer, preaching, and godly council groups, men with men, ladies with ladies, and we have that on a Friday night, and that filters people into the local church and then filters them from there into the men's home. And the men's home is an interesting place. They have an hour of devotions in the morning, then they have their breakfast, then they have a clean-up time where they will clean up a room each. They'll be responsible for duties like that. Then we have a different preacher that comes in every day. Ones that we would know, and they will teach a different class every day. So on a Monday we have a preacher that comes over, an American missionary. He comes over and he teaches music, and he's teaching the guys how to sing. Now if I had more of my men here with me, they would sing for you. But I don't have enough here with me to embarrass them to get up and sing. They are only learning. But he teaches them music, the laws of music and stuff like that, and he's training them up and stuff like that. Then my preacher, David O'Gorman of Lifegate Baptist Church, he comes and he does a pastor's class on a Tuesday morning. I do Wednesday morning. On a Thursday morning, we have another missionary, an American missionary, comes over and he
He teaches a class. He normally does stuff like he will hit standards, church standards. He will hit godly living. He will hit stuff like that in his Bible class on a Thursday morning, and then on a Friday morning we have New Testament survey. So they're getting taught systematically through the New Testament, and that's a great benefit for them. They will also, after they're finished in Bible, they will have to go out and they will have to work manual jobs. They will do gardening, painting. Because there's no point in giving a man lots of Bible if you don't teach him he should work for a living too. You can do, you know, you have to have both, so that we do everything in the men's room. They have to work hard and they have to go to Bible class and they have to be in their devotions and stuff like that. We are at every church service. Every time the doors are open, the guys are there. Every church outreach, the guys are there. And when they come in, they don't know anything about the Bible. But when they've been in, you know, 6 months or so, they get to learn a whole lot. You know, realistically, they're probably in Bible classes or church a minimum, I would say, of 3 hours a day, every day. So it is intensive for men. You know, people will have different problems. Some people can't read and stuff like that. We'll have to help with that. So many problems, but, you know, we have found us working really, really well. God is really doing changing lives in the place. Some of the rules are there's no smoking, no drinking, no newspapers, no TV, no radio, no contemporary Christian music. It's beyond me why they put the name Christian to some of that music. But we have none of that kind of stuff. It's all godly music that we have in the men's home. And we have an environment where we're trying to take the men from a life of chaos, from a life of doing what they want, living the way they want, to taking them and putting them in an environment where they're protected, where we have godly standards and we live the way God would want us to live. And you get a man in there and you protect him for the 12 months, and that man learns to walk with God when he's in the men's home. Obviously, we're praying that he gets saved. And if they don't get saved, they normally leave anyway. Because you're doing so much Bible, if you don't get saved, you know, they're not going to be interested and they will end up leaving. So we are having good success. We had 3 graduate the whole year in January. And we have another few finished in May. And what I have with me today is I have 4 men and I have a lady from my Friday night program. And they will all give a brief testimony. They will take between 3 and 5 minutes each. Some will take less because they'll be nervous when they get here and see all your faces. So I know I don't have to be too harsh with that. And then I'm going to come back up at the end, wrap it all up, tie up any loose ends. And Shane, did you get many leaflets?
No, small handful.
Small handful. For those fortunate people that are in here, we're going to get, and I'm going to give them to you for free. I'm going to give you a free gospel leaflet. If you're not a church person, make sure you get one. And if you know somebody that's struggling with an addiction or struggling with a problem with sin, addiction is just sin. You're going to get that in the testimonies. We don't treat different addictions differently. We just treat it as sin. And when somebody has a problem with sin, they need to just get to Jesus. Jesus forgives sin. He changes sinners. And that's the way we deal with addiction. But this little gospel leaflet will have my testimony in it. It will have how you can be saved. And my phone number and contact details and stuff like that. So please take one away if you have somebody that needs one of them. And like I said, they are free. If it makes you feel better, there will be a small charge. But I'd like to give you them free. Sometimes when we get charged for something, it means more to us than if we get it for free. So take use of that. The first man that I'm going to have come up, his name is Shane Quinn. And Shane talks low. And 3 to 5 minutes. Shane's a talker, so I have to tell him that.
Well, good evening. As Nathan said, my name is Shane. I'm a small bit nervous. If you don't mind them, I'm not a talker. I'm very shy. I grew up in a Roman Catholic background. Mother and father at home. Father worked, mother stayed at home and watched us. I've 2 brothers and 1 sister. I started going wrong in my early teenage years. Started falling out of school, being disobedient to the teachers, not listening to them, wanting to do my own thing. And, you know, things started to go wrong when I was about 13, 14, started smoking cigarettes, you know, thinking it wasn't too bad, you know. Started drinking and, You know, I just see my life getting worse and worse and worse. I went from drinking to, you know, not coming home, staying out the weekend, you know, just putting my parents through complete, you know, being a nuisance to my parents. But things really got bad, you know. I started doing harder drugs, thinking drink, you know, was not too bad. Going on to heroin, I was addicted to heroin for 10 years. I went on to a drug called methadone, which is a substitute. I believe it's Subutex is used up here for a heroin substitute. I was caught up in addiction for 11 years, and let me tell you, I tried to so many times to get off drugs myself, and that was just my problem. I tried to do everything myself, you know, because I hadn't got God in my life. You know, I tried to detox myself in my own house, and, you know, basically I was just going forward and forward, and things weren't really happening for me. I heard about the Reformers Unanimous, the addiction program that Leighton runs. I heard about that, it's on a Friday night, and I attended it. All these guys were talking about God, and, you know, Jesus saves. I was like, how's he going to save me? I do heroin every day. You know, how can the Lord Jesus save me? How wrong was I? Because, you know, 12 months later, you know, I'm totally clean. I no longer smoke. I don't drink. I don't do any drugs at all. But not only did Jesus save me from hell, but he's given me back so much that I've lost through my addiction. I lost my family, my two kids. I couldn't see them. My mother and father wouldn't trust me. They wouldn't let me in the house at all. And the Lord Jesus has restored all that and much more. I'm going to be taking custody of my two boys in May when I graduate the men's home. I'm looking forward to it. I'm nervous about being a father. I was never there for my kids because of my addiction. So, you know, everything's new. I'm a small bit nervous about taking that responsibility on. But I know through the power of God I can do it, you know. You know, God is good. You know, I never had Jesus in my life before, you know, I went into the men's home. And not only did the Lord save me from hell, but, you know, through the men's home, through every day, as Leighton has explained to us, you know, you learn to walk with the Lord Jesus. And it's about having a close relationship with the Lord Jesus. And, you know, that's what I need in my life. I don't know any is here. I don't know if you're saved or not. But, you know, you need the Lord Jesus in your life. You mightn't be addicted to drugs, you know, you mightn't have a big, massive heroin addiction, but, you know, you need the Lord Jesus in your life, and I'm just glad I found Jesus when I did, and I'm here to glorify his name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, good evening, everyone. My name's Thomas, and I'm from Tallaght, Dublin. My story is quite similar to Shane's. I grew up in a Catholic family, and like most Catholics down south, we're not really churchgoers, you know. We're just born into that religion, and I grew up in a good family home, a family of eight. I had four brothers and one sister, and I had a good childhood growing up. I was quite good in school, and I was going quite well until I really hit secondary school, and you know, you start hanging around with the wrong people. You try to be the class clown, and my life started to go downhill. Like Shane, I was smoking, drinking, and that led on to hash. And from then on, you know, it was progressive from ecstasy to LSD. And I was just experimenting. Like the enemy had a hold of me, and I was experimenting in drugs that I shouldn't have been in. And progressively, I went on to heroin then. And you know, my family, my sister and my two other brothers, we were heroin addicts too. And, you know, it caused a lot of damage to my family, and me and my brother, we were put in custody. And to get out of custody, we were told to go on a methadone program. So we were told we wouldn't be on it for that long, and we went on the program. But little did I know, I'd be on methadone for the next 10 years of my life, as with my brother too. And, you know, that stopped me from working properly. Oh yeah, I couldn't live anymore. I could live, but I wasn't living the life that I wanted to have. I was closed off to the world, to my family, to everyone around me. And my brother Paul, he went to Scotland, and he went to a home in Scotland, and he got right. He told me he was a Christian, but to me, I didn't know what a Christian was. And he would encourage me on the phone to go to Leighton's RU group each Friday, you know, and I'd be trying to put it off because I was content with what I was doing. Although I was miserable, I just couldn't see a way out. And Paul came back, and then Leighton would encourage me to go to the RU. So I started to go. I started to attend on a Friday. And I wanted to get into the men's home, so I was told to go to a Sunday service. And it was through Sunday service, you know, that I was sitting there in the sea, and, you know, the Holy Spirit convicted me of the sin and the grief that I was causing him, you know. So during the invitation, I went forward that day, and I got saved. I was brought back, and I got saved, you know. And, you know, I just knew then that there was hope there for me. So I went into the home, and I struggled at first, but, you know, I took my time, but I trusted in God that he cleaned me from the drugs, you know. And he has done that for me, you know. He's kept me clean now. I'm clean 16, 17 months. And I've graduated home there in January. God has given me a ministry in the kids' club in our church, you know. And my brother, too, he's clean. He's married to a good, godly Christian wife. And he has kids on the way, you know. And he's restoring relationships with my family. My mom and dad were embarrassed about me and my brother and the rest of us in the family that done drugs. But now when I get down, you know, I just see a smile on their face now. And, you know, God's good. He can restore the years the locusts have taken from you. And he's done that with me and my brother. And, you know, just praising God for what he's done in my life and for what he's going to do in the future too. Amen.
Sinead.
I'm Sinead, and the same as Tom and Shane, I was born in Dublin, and my parents were Catholics, but they weren't practicing Catholics. And when I was young, about 10 years of age, certain things happened at home that caused me some emotional pain, and I always remember feeling very lonely and hurt, and I didn't know where to turn. So I was afraid to talk to my mum about it, and you know, I just started like really acting out in school, and I used to skip school, run away from home, smoking cigarettes, drinking. My parents didn't know what to do with me, and they were really worried. So when I was 14, they sent me to a children's home in Dublin in Rackar, and it wasn't really a nice place. And I think when I was there, I still always had that lonely feeling, and I was hurt and I felt rejected, and it wasn't a nice place. I left there at 16, and it was just as bad as it ever was, and started again, the drugs, the ecstasy, it progressed on, it was heroin. There were certain times in my life when I got clean for a short period of time, I used to try going to NA, AA, all those places, but nobody could help me. I still always had those like lonely, insecure feelings of rejection, and you know, I was just miserable. You know, I just couldn't see a way out. And then again, start on the same road. You know, cocaine. It was failure after failure, disappointment after disappointment. I got worse and worse and worse. It just devastated my life. The debts and the, you know, I had a son and I couldn't look after him the way I should. I couldn't love him. I couldn't give him anything. And I just came to the end of myself. I had a brother who was a Christian, and I used to think he was nuts sometimes, and he was always talking about the Lord, and he said, Sinead, like, your life could be different. And I used to just be like, but yeah, I think that was, when I look back now, you know, that was God drawing me, and he planted a seed there. And you know, I was actually out with him one night, and I seen a sign outside a church. It's a Bible believing church. It's called Life Gate, and it's in Tala. And it was a sign that said, RU Addictions Program. So I went in, and I talked to Leighton, and anyway, following on, the following Friday, I went, and, you know, it was all a bit strange at first, but there was the women in the church. I started going faithfully to Sunday service and Wednesday service, and the ladies in the church would sit beside me and encourage me in the Lord, and, you know, they'd invite me to their house at the weekends for dinner, and they'd call me, and you know, just really being there for me. And I began to trust them, and I knew there was something different. And one night I was there, and I heard Leighton Kelly preaching a message out of Luke 8, and it was about a woman with an issue of blood, and she'd spent all her living trying to get a cure, and she heard Jesus was in town, and she touched his garment, and he made her whole again. And I knew that that was real, and I knew that there was a Savior, and I knew that if I called out to Jesus, that he would save me. And I was still kind of in addiction, and you know, I needed to be discipled because I was just a young believer, and you know, you need to be like discipled through learning the truth. And so the church kindly sent me over to a place in America called Rockford, Illinois, to a Baptist church over there, a Bible believing church, and just changed my life. And I remember the first time I read John 3:16, and I was so excited. It just, I knew it was the truth. I knew, like, I just knew what it meant. And, you know, the other people had all been Christians for a long time, and I just, you know, I just felt very excited and stirred, and I just wanted to know God more and the things about Him. And I seen people's lives that were completely changed, and it was just a very special time in my life. And when I came back, I backslided for a little bit. I made some compromises and bad decisions. You know, it's important in a church to stay under your spiritual authorities, and I didn't listen, and I was kind of wanting to, you know, listen to worldly music and stuff like that again. I just kind of got unhappy. But I went back shortly afterwards and made things right with my pastor, and, you know, because if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive. And I just felt God really speaking to my heart again. And I said, Lord, like, I just want to serve You. And whatever it is, whatever You ask of me, I want to do it. And I just started to get involved under Leighton's leadership in the RU Kids Club ministry. And then our pastor under Wednesday Kids Club ministry. And I tell you, sometimes it's a bit chaotic, but I love it because I'm in the center of God's will. And I love to help other women in similar situations. And that's everything. Thanks.
Just let me step in just for 1 minute. Obviously tonight isn't in the men's home. I thought you would pick that up because it's quite sharp up here. But Sinead is not in the RU men's home. Sinead went to a ladies' home, an RU ladies' home over in America. And that is the only conservative place that there is. In the UK, all over the UK, and down south, anywhere like that in Europe, there is no Bible-believing programs for ladies at all. You can send somebody away, somebody that has a heroin problem, somebody that's addicted to alcohol, somebody that's like that. You can send them away to either government programs, where they will be taught you can help yourself, where that's anti-Bible, because the Bible says, "Me and my flesh dwell in no good thing." So you're kind of going against what God says, and they will teach them self-help groups, and it's like NA and AA, and you make a God up of your own understanding. Right then and there, you're going against what it says in Exodus 20. So you can't really do that. Or you can send them to the Charismatics. They're the only people that do anything with ladies in Europe. And they would be down. There's one down south. There's a couple over in the UK. But you're kind of stuck where to send ladies. So we have to send ladies over to a ladies' home that we trust over in Rockford, Illinois. And that's where we sent Sinead. That's where we sent another girl called Emer O'Connor. Emer used to be a homeless drug addict sleeping rough. She used to sleep in a two-man tent in the back of a Catholic church field. Excuse me, the Lord brought her to our program. She got saved and she went across to the ladies' home. Girl, life changed about, and now she's been back, lived in Ireland for a year or so, and that right now she's in Bible college over in America. She went back over to America to go to Bible college proper. So, you know, we are seeing some dramatic stuff happening with the men, and that's great. We can help men. We have men, two men from Northern Ireland in right now. But we are really struggling. We need just to pray with us about a ladies' home. We have a massive need. On a Friday night, honestly, I could fill a ladies' home if I had one pretty much right away. I have the ladies that are wanting to go in and get some help. And we are in desperate need of a ladies' home. But not just a physical building. That's not exactly all we need. We need somebody who is going to be like the matron in the ladies' home. Somebody that's an older Christian that knows their way around the Bible, that's confident in their Christianity. Somebody that's not married. Somebody that's either single or widowed or something like that. Really somebody that's sharp about their Christianity, that knows God, that knows what God can do. We're needing somebody that's mature to be the matron in the ladies' home so we can get it going. Now we have lots of great helpers like Sinead and of other people from a background of addiction that could help. But the key bit we're missing, we need just to pray for this, is we're missing the lady that will live there that will take it on board as her ministry. In our church, we don't really have anybody like that. We're really a fourth generation Christian church. Everybody that's been saved in the church has got saved straight out of Roman Catholicism. And there's no really more mature ladies to do that. And that's what we're missing to start the ladies' home. Right now we're having to send people away. I have a girl coming into detox in my house starting on Friday, a mother of two children. And a lady on my church is going to take one of her kids and look after a kid for a year. That's a commitment. That's Jesus with skin on, folks. That's Jesus with skin on. Did you get that? That's what people need. People need the church, which is God's support group, to show real love and to meet the need that's there. A lady of our church is going to take on board one of the kids of this lady. Going to take the lady into my house. My wife, Claire, I have three kids. My wife is going to help her to detox off the drugs. She's on the methadone program, which is a heroin substitute. My wife's going to help her get off that. And then we're going to send her over to Rockford for 3 months. Then she's going to come back for 3 or 4 weeks. Then she's going to go back over for 3 months. Back for 3 or 4 weeks. Back over for 3 months. And that's the way we have to do it, which will cost a whole lot of money that we have to fork out. But also, it's not as effective as getting her into a lady's home for 12 months like what we do with the men. And we are really struggling for a lady's home. So a great need for our ministry right now is that mature lady that's going to give up, you know, a year, 2 years and be committed to living in the lady's home and take it on board and get the thing going. So pray for us with that. But I just wanted to share a couple of things before we have another two men come up and give testimonies. Just how much God is working. You know, God is doing a work. Sometimes when you're up north to down south, there's a dramatic difference. You know, when we're driving down the road up here, we see church. Loads of churches where you can go in, and some of them you mightn't hear the gospel in, but a lot you will. And down south, it's totally different. You know, it is totally different. There's very, very, very few churches that you'll go in and you'll see people preaching from a Bible, and they'd be preaching the gospel. Very few. But let me tell you, the ministry that we're involved in is with people that know they're sinners, know that they need God's help because they've been everywhere else. Just even today. And listen, let me tell you, you don't need guitars and drums in your church to get people in and get people to enjoy the Lord. We had 7 people kneeling at the altar this morning just from the RU ministry. 7 adults kneeling at the altar getting right with God this morning after some spirit-filled preaching. Let me tell you, folks, God is at work. And God is moving. And keep praying for us because we are out there down in Dublin. And we need some help, but we need people to be committed, praying for the men that come in the home, that they will stick it out and give God time to work in their life. Sinead is an example of somebody who you're not just dealing with the mother or the father. If you fix the mother or the father, you're dealing with the whole family. So, you know, although we might have Shane here giving a testimony, Shane has 2 little boys that he's responsible for looking after. And he said he has to take them on board in a few months' time. Shane actually has to be the number one carer in their life in a couple of months' time. You know, so you're not only dealing with one life, you're dealing with many lives when you're helping just that one. So I have a couple of testimonies now to come. We have, next up is Conor O'Sullivan from Dublin. And then after him, straight away, will be Robert. And Robert's from this end of the island. So, Conor.
Hello, everybody. My name is Conor O'Sullivan. I'm 23 years of age. I'm from Tala. Just want to tell you a bit about myself. I was on methadone for 11 years, on cocaine and tablets and that. And my life was chaos. Growing up as a corner boy, thought I was the wise guy. Got into trouble with the guards and stuff like that. Ended up getting locked up from an early age. Heard about the men's home, Leighton Kelly and stuff, that through a friend of mine, and I didn't think there was any hope for me. But I was proved wrong. I was getting busy dying at the time. Now I'm busy living. The night I was going through me rattle, I asked God, I cried out to God to help me. And it was like he took a bag of coal off my back. He just helped me. And since then, I'm walking with God. And I'm just glad to be here. And just praise the Lord. Amen.
It's really great to be here. As you can tell, I'm from the north. Well, I just grew up just like the rest of them. You know, I grew up, thought I was a big man. At an early age, had my parents, you know, like their hearts broke, you know, wouldn't come in at night and all. Started running with the older crew and ended up, started smoking, drinking, running about the parks at night and that, fighting, getting on, fighting over religion and stuff, you know, like Protestant and Catholic things. And then it just kept evolving, like I started smoking cannabis and started running with a few of my mates, they were dealers and stuff, and we ended up started to sell drugs and get on like that, and just kept progressing, like it was like a roller coaster, just like smoking cannabis, then it moved on to acid, then it moved on to ecstasy, before I knew it was a heroin addict smoking crack, just a real scumbag, to tell you the truth. And I was in and out of worldly programs like Ward 8 and stuff like that, on the methadone program. Was often struck off the methadone program, on Subutex, struck off the Subutex because I was caught, you know, sticking it in my pocket and stuff. And then I was back on the methadone program. I was in all these worldly programs, and none of them worked. And then I was nearly at my last teller, like I was nearly dead, so I was. And I was in the car park in Tesco's, and it just happened. Something says to me, turn around, and as I turned around, Ryan Smith was standing, a friend of Chris Collins, and he says to me, give us a ring. You know, like, I was really in a bad state. I was at my last words then. Like, and I says, right, I'll give these boys. Well, I just left it and got into the car. Like, and I left. And the next day I got a text message. And it's, would you like to meet up for a cup of tea? So I says, I know, like myself, like, I'll go and get a cup of tea after these boys. And maybe get a few quid and get an hour bit of stuff and go on, you know, as you do when you're in your addiction. Like, so I went to Ryan's house in Ballykill 2 in Ballymena. And I met Chris. I knew Chris before it, like, but he used to tell me about God and all, but he used to just blank it out, you know. I thought it was one of the, you know, the smart men. So I was talking to Chris and Ryan, and then they're just, well, they said that they could get me a place in Dublin, like, you know, to get me off the stuff and that. And I says, right, no problem. But he says it's like a Bible, you know, like a Christian place. And I was like, well, I'll give it a shot, like, but I think most of these Bible people are head cases, you know. But really, I was a head case, to tell you the truth, so I went down, and I actually took a turn for the worst, and I was rushed. Well, I wasn't rushed to any hospital. I was took any hospital in Tala, and I was in the hospital and asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart, and he saved me, and I praise God for that. And I'd just like to say, like, if it wasn't for the men's home, I don't think I'd be standing here talking tonight. So I'd just like to quote a wee verse here before I go. That's in Isaiah 45, verse 2 and 3. I will go before thee and make the crooked path straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Thou that mayest know thy, the Lord, which call ye by the name, and the God of Israel. God bless you all. Amen.